This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There's something of a disconnect happening between what's known as the private market, what companies are worth before they go public, and what those companies are worth once they have their initial public offering, the public markets. Examples A and B today are the meal kit delivery service Blue Apron and whatever service you want to call Snap of Snapchat fame, which haven't been and whose share prices reflect that they have not been the sure bets a whole lot of investors had been hoping. Maureen Farrell shared the byline in the Wall Street Journal on a story today about this valuation disconnect. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Kai.
One of the things that you say in this piece is that the number of unicorns, which are companies valued at a billion dollars or more in the private markets, is up some astounding figures. I mean, there's like a zillion of them out there now.
It's been a really incredible phenomenon. I mean, by Dow Jones Venture Count source, it's almost 170 companies valued at $1 billion or more. Before the financial crisis, there really hadn't been any billion-dollar private companies, because at that point, basically, you went to the public markets to get money. So the question in Silicon Valley and in other parts of the world is, why go through all the trouble of being a public company? And if you don't have to, if someone else is going to give me a really big check,
okay,
I can do what I want.
Right, totally. But if I'm a venture capitalist and I see all these companies going public and then their valuations cratering in a relative sense, I mean, $1 billion is still $1 billion, you know, for Blue Apron or whatever on the public markets. If I see those values going down, why am I going to keep plowing my money in the late stage of these companies being private?
That's a really, really good question. And I think it's a question very much on a lot of their minds right now. But SoftBank, the Japanese telecom company, they and the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund together have $100 billion. They just launched a fund to put into private tech companies.
Wow.
I mean, that's the largest ever fund totally dedicated to private tech companies. We're in this weird new world where there's so much private capital. SoftBank's Vision Fund has money they just have to put to work. So there's this real like push and pull on valuation and where things should stand.
Let me take you a little bit sideways. A story that broke this morning that I understand you're working on for tomorrow or later today at the Journal. This idea from the S&P, the S&P 500 index, that they are going to restrict now companies getting onto that index if they don't meet certain corporate governance guidelines. That is to say, who gets to vote, what the shares are like. Explain to me the dilemma there and what could conceivably happen.
So basically, it looks like they're proposing to limit, at the very least, like dual class shares, which, you know, Snap had a structure like this, Facebook, Google, in a case of where the founders essentially get to keep control and give the public a much more limited number of votes compared to the votes they have. So now the S&P 500 is going to limit going into their index if you have a structure like this. When Snap went public, even with its recent troubles, they went public when if you bought a share of Snap in the IPO, you got zero votes. And that was a really somewhat unprecedented move. And they got basically negligible pushback from potential shareholders.
Yeah. I wonder if they feel differently now that Snap isn't doing so well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what they would have to say about that right now.
Maureen Farrell, she covers IPOs for the Wall Street Journal, writing today with Corey Drybush. And more tomorrow, actually, on the S&P. Maureen, thanks very much.
Thanks, Kai.